And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
In James chapter 1, verse 3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Some translations translate the verse, the testing of your faith produces patience. I think all of us, in some senses, in some ways, have been tested in these last number of days. I hope it has been productive of patience. Talked with someone yesterday and they said, one thing about this bad weather is that it will produce patience on our part. I hope it does. I hope that all the testing that we face will do as James says it should, and that it will produce patience. Because certainly the conditions we've had in recent days, weeks, have been tests. During these last few days, I've thought a number of times about an event several years ago. Our first full-time church work was the Covington Church that serves the area of downtown Cincinnati. And one of the years there, I recall we had 8 Sundays, 8 weeks of snowy conditions. Several inches of snow. I don't know what the largest one was, but I know for 8 weeks running, we had a big snow, probably some ice underneath it also. I remember one of the great men, Brother Luther Chumley, an elder of the church. He's since gone to his reward, but remarkably wonderful, marvelous man. He said, Brother Medlin, do you think the Lord is testing us? I said, Brother Chumley, I don't know whether the snow comes for that explicit purpose or not, but I know when it gets here, it does. I don't know if that's the primary reason that we have it, but I know that's the end result. And so a lot of things test us. I think those 8 snowy Sundays tested us. I think these last 2 or 3 weeks have done that. But I know that you have come through in flying colors. And I know that we'll be better as a result of it. Now, we may wonder sometimes during these days, someone called just recently and said, I have cabin fever. I just have to talk to someone. Seems that I have claustrophobia. The children, you know, are home and they can't get outside. And it seems that I get on my husband's nerves and he gets on mine and so forth. Well, I think some of these conditions bring on a lot of these factors. But we'll survive them. We'll live through them and we'll be better as a result of it. I remember some time ago a great religious leader. He wasn't in our fellowship, but he was a great religious leader. He gave instructions concerning preachers, and he said that every preacher should know by Monday noon what his Sunday sermon's going to be. Now, that particular church, they mainly had only Sunday morning services rather than services Sunday night and Wednesday night as we do in the church. But his advice was, ranking leader in that particular religious denomination was, that all the preachers should have or should know by Monday noon what the Sunday sermon's going to be. Well, I think that's probably the way it ought to be. I don't mean it's fully developed at that time, but that's probably good advice. But I thought, maybe it's good advice, but what about when on Friday, when a snowstorm hits, and you planned on a subject on Monday or Tuesday early in the week, that would be of application to a particular audience that may not be there when Sunday comes. And so sometimes it's necessary to shift gears, and I think that's had to be done by all preachers on many, many occasions. A necessity, because what looked on Monday to be a situation changed drastically when Sunday came. But thanks for you making the effort in being here today. As our Lord said in Luke 17:10, after we have done all that we're commanded to do, we should say we're unprofitable servants because we've done no more than was our duty to do. And so in the real sense, we don't really need to pat ourselves on the back so much when we experience some discomfort or things are not as ideal as we'd like for them to be. Because when we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made in order to bring about our salvation, it wasn't easy to die on that cross. It wasn't easy for Him to be subjected to all of the difficulties and hardships He was. But He did that because He loved us, because He wanted to save us. And so we need, whenever we are uncomfortable in doing some of the things that the Lord's commanded us to do, keep in mind that we're still unprofitable servants. We've done no more than we should do. You heard earlier in this service today the beautiful words written by a man of God centuries ago, Psalm chapter 1. I want us to think about some of the things that the psalmist suggests in this chapter. If you have your Bible, if you will open them to Psalm chapter 1, please. Always a good advice to bring our Bible whenever we are in worship service, and to use them and to open them in that service. In this first psalm, it tells us about the inner religion of one of Israel's select souls. It doesn't have a prefix like a lot of psalms does. In fact, we don't know the when, the where, the why, the occasion really of it. We know that it was written by a man of God, written by inspiration, written for us. But there are a lot of things about it as to what brought it about, other than what we've suggested already, that is the will of God, the mind of God, given through a man for us. But other than that, we seem to be at the end as far as knowing the why. Some scriptures that are given out of some historical setting, out of some great event or some great moment in the life of the writer, or telling about some historical event. This one is just of a general nature. Fits every person at all times and all occasions. Maybe that's the reason God gave it as He did. Because it's not localized, it is of a general nature that can fit all of us for all times, for all ages. And of course, as Paul said in Romans 15:4, for the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. that all of God's Word is beneficial, is needful for us, written for our learning, that we might benefit, that we might profit from it. But let's notice here in Psalm chapter 1, the blessedness of the righteous man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. As the psalmist begins this, he notes the blessedness of the righteous man. First, he discusses his character. What kind of person is this man? Blessed is the man. This word blessed from the Hebrew could be rendered happy, or oh, the happiness would be the faithful rendering. If we wanted to be just literally what the Hebrew writer was saying, we could say, happy or oh, the happiness of the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits or stands in the way of sinners. Happiness. I'm sure that this is something that all of us want. Happiness. Each one of us here today would say, I'm sure that you want to be happy. I don't think I've ever met a person, unless their thinking was disorientated. Now maybe we've seen a few like that. They didn't see things in a proper perspective, would say, oh, I don't care whether I'm happy or not. But that's a person that's disorientated. Anyone that is a reasonable, responsible being wants to be happy. Now we may have different definitions as to what constitutes happiness, but all of us want happiness. And do you want to be happy? I want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. We've talked with many, many people, and I'm sure that all of us have, who said, now, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Sometimes they're not. We've known of so many situations where people have been that are not happy. But the psalmist here says, happy or blessed. Well, that's what that word blessed is. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught those Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, the merciful, and so on. And we call them Beatitudes because they have to do with the thought process. Happy is the man that does what Jesus says in those verses in the Sermon on the Mount. That if a person will do those things, he'll have a happy attitude. It'll be a beatitude. It'll be a happy attitude. It'll be happiness. And if there's one thing that our Lord taught in His great ministry, it was that He wanted people to be happy. He wanted us to be happy. He doesn't want any person to be miserable. The Word of God wants men to be happy. Our Lord said in John 13:17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Notice that profound truth. Jesus said, now, you need to know these things. We need to know the right thing. But it's not enough to just know it. He says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know the reason a lot of people aren't happy today? Is not so much because they don't know the will of God. That's true with some. But I'm talking about those of us that are in the church
If we're not happy when we know the will of God, it's simply because we're not doing what Jesus said. He said, happy are you if you know these things and if you do these things. There are multitudes of people that know God's will that are miserable. They're miserable because they're not doing what the Lord says. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but a man that walks in the will and the ways of God, this man is going to be happy. In Job 5:17, Job, in the language of God, says, happy are these thy servants. In Psalm 2:12, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. The most miserable creature, I believe, in all the world is a person that's trying to be in both worlds at the same time. The ungodly, the disobedient Christian is miserable because he's not happy trying to hang on to the Lord with one hand and trying to hang on to the devil with the other. Isn't anything more miserable and brings about more unhappiness than a half-committed Christian? Happy is the person that does God, knows God's will and does it. You know, sometimes Christians try to persuade themselves that they can be happy walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, participating in those things that are sinful and those things that are wrong. Many people today are tormented emotionally, are sick mentally, and are disturbed because they haven't lived up to what they know the Lord teaches them to do. I don't like to air the dirty linen of the church publicly. And I believe that we need to refrain as much as possible, especially on the airways, of doing so. And maybe even otherwise to a great degree. And we need to be realistic. We don't need to give the impression to everybody that every person who is on the church roll is living according to what the Lord commands in all ways. Because people outside see this is not the case, and if we're giving that impression to someone, then we can disturb them unduly. So I don't like to air or to display dirty linen, really. But I think I need to do so to this degree today to emphasize this particular point. And I do it not out of joy. Just a few days ago, we learned or heard of a friend and acquaintance of ours who had been committed to now to a mental institution. Several months ago, he had left his wife and children, taken up with a woman where he worked that I'm sure he thought brought happiness to him at that time. But several months later, there's been just a breakdown emotionally and mentally to where he's needing a tremendous amount of treatment. A few days ago, his wife, that is the one who really is his wife, she and the preacher went and got the husband and took him to the hospital. I've known this family. They came into the church where we once served while we were there. And he since became a deacon in the church. And a very active family, a very active family in every way. But somehow or other, the old devil got his foot in. And someone seemed to be alluring to Ken. And he left his family, his children, and now the end result. My friend, so many, many times, I couldn't hazard a number today or a guess of how many times this happens. We have Christians in hospital after hospital after hospital who have lived below the principles they know the Lord taught, and they eventually aren't happy with it, and eventually they cannot live with themselves. Now, a person that doesn't know the Lord and doesn't know what's right and doesn't know that he's not living up to those principles, he may go on and spend a lifetime and not ever need any psychiatric help. But that's not true. That's not true of so many who know that they do not live up to their principles that the Lord teaches in His Word. Happiness. Happiness is doing the will of God. And somehow when we think there's some shortcut, that we can somehow receive it in not doing what God says, in falling below the principles that He teaches in His Word, we find out that we can't do it. You know, that one case I mentioned to you is not the only case. As I've already impressed upon you, that we have hospital after hospital after hospital that concentrates on trying to get the emotions together, to pick up the mental fragments. Oftentimes are of people who have lived below the principles the Lord teaches. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everybody that has a nervous problem and everybody that has a mental breakdown is because they've been untrue to their mate. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I'm simply saying to you that whenever we live below the principles that are taught in God's Word, then we're going to have to pay the consequences. Generally speaking, when someone sees the psychologist, the psychiatrist, there are some exceptions, but I'm telling you today that if it were not for the guilt feelings and the guilt hang-ups, it wouldn't be necessary for a person to wait several weeks or several months. I've had people call me and say, I've got to talk to someone. I can't get an appointment to see the psychiatrist for 3 months and I can't wait that long. I have to talk with someone. Problem. Blessed. Happy is the person that walks with God. Oh, we can tell ourselves and we can listen to the old devil that happiness can come in some other way, but when we deviate from doing what God says, the repercussions of the penalty is going to be there, and you don't have to wait to judgment day in order to receive it. Because the payment's made over and over again in guilt feelings, in hurt, in agony, long, long before that. I've talked with Christian couples who love the Lord and who are Christians, but when they were dating, they took liberties and did things that God doesn't authorize in His Word. And I've had them say to me, I know that he or she did this or that when we were dating. And you know, back in my mind, I wonder whether he or she would do that again.
people 30 or 40 years old say, I can't sleep at night because I think about these things. I'm telling you the way the real world is. To a teenager, it may not seem to matter, but let them get 20 years older. And sometimes those guilt feelings hang in there that disrupt, and the emotions are torn to threads. Blessed is the man that walks with God. Blessed is the man who meditates upon His law day and night. Meditates upon God's law and God's truth and God's will. Oh, I would that each one of us would realize that doing God's will is a thing that will bring happiness. Nothing else will. Nothing else does. Meditating upon God's law day and night, doing what God says. I've talked with any number of people and they said, I've gone to the psychologist, I've gone to the psychiatrist, and you know, I was disappointed because he didn't tell me what to do. I said, if one ever does, you better select you another one, because that's not his work. If he tells you what to do, that's not his role. Now, when you talk a situation out, you know what to do. You decide what to do. He's not going to tell you do this, that, or the other. That's not His purpose. That's not His business. He's not God. Not to act in that role. You make the decision. You meditate. You do the thing that you know you should do. That's what counseling is. It's not telling a person what to do. It's letting that person realize what he or she should do. You know, any person that's got a problem, they talk it out enough, they see what the answer is. They may not want to do it, but they see what it is. Meditate upon the law day and night. The person that does will be like a tree planted to the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If we want prosperity, if we want success, if we want happiness, it comes from God. It doesn't come in some other way. If we do what God says, He will bring about happiness, prosperity, and blessings to us. Meditate upon His law day and night. Let His Word be important to us. I remember a dear sister who's gone to her reward several years ago. Confined to a nursing home for several years prior to her death. And many, many times, she was practically blind. She'd hardly know who I was other than the voice. When I'd walk up by her bedside, oftentimes I'd hear her quoting Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I'd stand there sometimes by her bed as she continued to quote it. And then I'd speak her name. She couldn't see to read. Only thing she had really to live with in that bed was remembering those words that she had learned long ago. And she just said them over and over and over again. "The Lord is my shepherd." She couldn't get out of bed. Couldn't do anything for herself. Totally dependent. But her mind was alert. She meditated upon God's Word, and I'm telling you today, I believe that saw her through because she knew those truths of God, and they were an anchor to her. God's Word is an anchor to us. Learn it. Love it. Memorize it. Believe it. Follow it. Because one of these days when the eyes grow dim and the ears grow dull of hearing, and when maybe you can't read and you can't listen,
You've got that Word in your heart. And when those eyes are dim and those ears are deaf, you can meditate upon that Word, and it'll be a source of comfort and strength to you then as it is today and even more so. The Word of God. Those who do God's will are blessed. If you're not a Christian today, you need to become one. We urge you, walk in the ways of God. Do His will, and when you do His will, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. John 13:17. We have a lot of miserable people in our world because they're not happy. They're not happy because they're not unhappy because of the job they have or where they live. You know, a lot of times people say, if I had this or that job and if I lived in such and such a place, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Problems you, and if you were in Hawaii today, amid all the sunshine, the flowers, you'd still be there. If you're in Warren County or Alaska, where the snow is and the ice is, you'd be happy if everything's right on the inside. You see, it's you. It's me. That's the problem. And so if you're not doing God's will, we urge you to do so. Believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized, then living for Him. If you've obeyed the gospel, you've wandered away. You need to come back home. You need to repent. You need to surrender your life again to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to do Your will. And as I do, I know I'll be happy. Because that's what You say.